broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Excuse me, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips always. 24/7, on-demand radio. Live 6 days a week, 2 hours a day, telling the tale of Liberty on Tuesday's second hour, Even TV. How do you like that? Now, I got James Edwards with me both hours. We're grateful for him joining us once a month. His commentary and insights are very valuable indeed. James Edwards, well-known talk show host and author of Racism, Shamacism, and his talk show, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Check it out. Incredible, award-winning three-hour broadcast every Saturday night, and then on demand at your fingertips around the clock at thepoliticalcesspool.org. So can you imagine, I'm kind of thinking that Joe might just have a senior moment, and he's like, Kamala, why don't you go ahead and throw me the football? Is that a concern, James?
Yeah, I mean, imagine you don't like Donald Trump's politics, and because he has an irreverent style with the media, which they certainly deserve, you can't trust him not to go to war with China to create an event that may keep him in office, but you'll let Joe, who is obviously battling with some level of dementia or senility, Alzheimer's, whatever it is, he's obviously not all the way there. But that guy alone, he and him alone can hold the key. I don't think even if Biden had a plan to launch a war that he'd be able to.
He'd have a plan. I just think he might have a senior moment, though, and think he's doing what's right. He might, you know, sometimes, you know, if you go back in history, there's been times in history that he might, Joe's old, he might go back to one of those times and think it's that time now. He might, you know, who knows what he might do.
He's getting confused with all this talk about how every Christian conservative is a Nazi. Maybe he thinks the Nazis have taken over and he's got to nuke America to get them out. I mean, you just don't know, but I don't think he could execute the plan even if he had an idea.
All I'm telling you, though, is when Mark Milley literally goes around the president of the United States, his boss, to ensure or assure China, when this guy's fearful Trump would launch a nuclear attack, when this guy commits treason and secretly calls the Chinese Liberation Army general to tell him to give advance warning of an attack, okay? When he literally openly talks to his aides about fearing a, quote, Reichstag moment, you're more fearful of Trump in a Reichstag moment than you are the communist Chinese, your literal, the greatest threat to America ever known. I mean, it wasn't, but a few years ago, China flexed their muscle and said, we might have to commit a economic nuclear option against America if they don't stop it. Okay, and this guy's literally going to, this is unhinged. Anyway, we've talked about it enough, but I'm telling you, I think that we need to have a due process of law. We need to put people on the stand. They need to be forced to testify to the truth of this, and either Bob Woodward and Costa, either these guys need to be outed as fake news, or we need to have the truth that Milley did do these things, and we have treason on our hands. I don't think we can step back and not have answers on this, James. I don't think that's – I mean, I guess they might do that. But where are the Republicans to stand up on this and say, wait a minute now, this is not game playing here. We have to have the truth. Either we've been peddled fake news, we need to dismiss it, or we need to drill to the bottom of this. And if this really did happen, I mean, you kind of wonder – if Milley went around Trump, what else did they do to ensure Trump's inability to stay elected? In other words, how far did this go? If the top general is going to literally commit treason because he's so, quote, fearful, what else might have been done? Now we need that 14,000 hours of what happened at the Capitol building 10 times more, because that's the trigger point about which Mark Milley's talking about. He felt like, hey, Donald's getting crazy. Donald's followers are crazy. Now we get... Well, we need those 14,000 hours to know who really did what now. If the top general is doing that, who else is doing what, when, where, how, why, right?
Well, as you said, Sam, we've talked about it at length to the extent of the information we have, which is not much more than the allegation, but the allegation from two deep swamp monsters who value their credibility within the thoroughly discredited establishment press. What I mean by that is I don't think they would go after one of their own if they didn't have what they believe to be some pretty concrete evidence. That's Woodward Costin. Now, we just heard in the top of the hour news break in between hours here an update that confirms exactly what we thought. The allegations are out there, and there has, to this date, which is now a day or two later, no response whatsoever from Millie.
I don't know how to respond to that either, except for, you know, silence is fairly interesting. Because if you didn't do it, in my opinion, you would stand up boldly and say, this did not happen. I want you to prove it. I'm going to be suing Woodward and Costa on this thing. Because you know what? This isn't true. They're lying in their book. I'm going to, you know, see if we can get a judge to prove. Here. All right, I'm back and ready to go. All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know, man, when you have topics like this and you get cut off by the internet, you gotta kind of wonder, you know, do we have a real problem? James had problems with the internet earlier today, right? And now what, Cameron, the network, has problems? You gotta wonder if there's something to this. I don't want to make a big conspiracy out of that, too. I'm just saying it's interesting. You're talking about a general committing treason. You're talking about Joe Biden's inability to run the country. You're talking about a Reichstag moment feared by General Milley. But I would say this about Milley, too. I mean, this guy secretly called the general. If I did not do that and a book was coming out claiming that I did, I would be all over the news in a second saying this is absolutely a lie. I need them to prove it. This is bogus. I will sue them. I'm asking a judge to prevent the book from even coming out. This is insanity. It did not happen. But I don't hear anything like that from Mark. Do you, James?
No, I don't hear anything from him at all.
Wow. Crickets.
Good, bad, or indifferent.
All right. There you have it. Anyway, we've done enough of this. We'll have to wait for more information to come out. We'll have to wait to see if Mark starts dumping down denials or what happens or more evidence comes out. But this could be the changing moment if Republicans dig into this to say, look, either we've got fake news by these authors and they need to be shut down and ridiculed for the criminals they are and the fake news they're peddling, or we've got a treason on our hands and we need the 14,000 hours of video that's taken at the Capitol because, hey, if Mark Milley's doing this, who else has been doing what? And the undermining of President Trump becomes stratospherically launched to a different level, James.
It'll be interesting to see, but if you can get away with this, and we already had all of the widespread accusations of voter fraud, again, were they allowed to be fleshed out? Was it completely bogus? Well, I guess we'll never know. We had, of course, all of these people who participated in that protest. A small number of the people who were there went inside the Capitol building without the red carpet being rolled out for them. They're now Nazis. This is the Reichstag fire. Now you've got a general, apparently, who, unless, I know you're innocent until proven guilty, I guess, but until he denies it or there's evidence to the contrary, you've got a very serious allegation here. And if you're able to undermine your president, man, I mean, that doesn't speak well for the American experiment at all. And,
well, and it also
is it
speaks
even
when
worth
Donald
running?
Said there were people out to get him undermining his presidency and everybody laughed at him and said, you're goofy and paranoid. Now there's truth to that reality where there's smoke, there's fire,
that's,
James.
Well, that's the point. I mean, if it gets to the point, okay, here's the point. Here's the point. If it gets to the point, and maybe it's already past that, where the American people can't run an opposition candidate like Trump and him have any chance of being successful. He's completely undermined at every turn. When are they going to come to the conclusion, or dare I say, would they come to the conclusion, voting doesn't matter, none of this matters, it's time to do what the Founding Fathers did. We're not advocating for that, but if you take away the people's ability to elect people and them have a shot at running the government, that's serious.
Dad, can you make him stop?
Honey, he needs to practice.
He's been at it an hour.
Well, just trying to be patient.
Dad, it sounds like a cat calling for help or something.
Worse, a basement full of cats.
Yeah.
You know, hon, it is a little hard on the ears.
Not you, too.
Well, maybe we can all play a game. Andrew, do you want to play a board game? How about we watch a video? Hide and seek? Oh, I don't know, I give up.
Maybe we could all just sneak out of the house.
Honey, he's 9 years old. We can't leave him home alone.
Man.
We can make him practice with a sock.
Well, I guess we'll have to get some ice cream.
Did I hear someone say ice cream?
Family, isn't it about time?
Oh, I see the practice hasn't hurt your ears.
Well, I'm a serious musician.
Funny that you never seem to get better on that thing.
Works every time.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hey, where'd all these cats come from?
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march. That is why we pray. And that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, sorry for the internet glitches. We've been having some internet trouble. It's probably not a conspiracy to take us down. We've been having some internet trouble at a studio, and we have two different connections, and we were told one connection was fixed, which is our best connection, so we switched to it, but they obviously haven't fixed it. So anyway, thanks for your patience with that. I thought an explanation is appropriate. I'm not really liking calling out conspiracies when there isn't one, so there you have it. Joe Biden's plan, ladies and gentlemen, to combat COVID-19, they say is more than a vaccine mandate, James. James Edwards with me, thepoliticalcesspool.org. It's more than a vaccine mandate. It's a testing mandate as well. USA Today. Now, I want to talk about this a little bit, James, because this is critical. So if you decide, they say they're not forcing you to do anything, and this is how they're playing the game. Because, James, if you want to avoid the vaccines, all you got to do is get tested all the time. If you want to avoid the testing all the time, all you got to do is get the vaccine, James. And so you have great choices.
Yeah, neither of them work really for my schedule. And, yes, the Biden, I know you've talked about this with the Biden mandates. Every company that has over 100 employees now going to have to mandate vaccines. I mean, completely unimaginably, I would say illegal. But nevertheless, you wonder, why aren't there doctors to have a dissenting opinion? And we've talked about this. You've talked about this. The short answer, of course, is that there are. There are. But you really run the risk of losing your license to speak out against the established opinion here. And so we had what I think was one of the very best conversations that I've yet heard over the course of the last nearly now 2 years of the COVID phenomenon and hysteria. A few weeks ago on my radio program, we had a gentleman by the name of Dr. J.F. Gariepi, and he is a doctor of neuroscience. And he gave a very, very nuanced view on this, not over the top in any direction, but his conclusions were just rock solid. And we talked about, you know, the doctors. Why aren't there more doctors? Not every doctor could possibly be on board with this. And he made the point that it is monkey see, monkey do, and people fall in line with peer pressure. And of course, the doctors who we have seen speak out at school board meetings and things of that nature are completely savaged by the press, and they're running the risk of losing their ability to make a living. Dr. Russell Blaylock, who some of your audience may know, he also is a board-certified neurosurgeon and health practitioner, now retired, but he has written excellent, excellent, excellent articles about these vaccines. So there is not a consensus. I mean, it would appear to be that way, but I will tell you this, Sam. I talked to two registered nurses who work on COVID floors. Now, listen to me here. You want to talk about frontline people. I won't give any more details than that. Two nurses I talked to this week in different states, two different states. Both states, by the way, that are southern states and that have relatively lax restrictions on COVID. And I said, and they work on the COVID floors. And I asked both of them over the course of this weekend, I said, tell me exactly what you're seeing. I mean, because it is hard to know what to believe. And I said, you work on the COVID floor. How bad is it? Are we wrong on this? You know, I always like you. It's always smart. I have read so many articles, both esoteric, scholarly, and just the normal point and sputter stuff you see from the everyday regime media, where people who don't get vaccines are the new Holocaust deniers or Nazis or whatever, where they're really just trying to separate you from society and make you radioactive. And so you read a lot. I've tried to read both sides. I always want to be sharpening and questioning and examining and making sure that my conclusions are what's best for me and my family. But anyway, so I've read all these articles on both sides. And so I asked these nurses, I said, you're on the COVID floors. How bad is it across the board of all the people you have cared for with COVID in the COVID ICU on the COVID floors? How many of them are actually passing away? They said well in advance of 90% of people who go into the hospital on these COVID floors absolutely survive. So this whole thing, this fear porn thing, yes, you'd rather not get it. And I do believe that whatever's going around now is a little more potent, obviously, than what they had last year. It is still not the Black Death. I'm talking to doctors. I am talking to doctors. I am talking to nurses who are in these hospitals and who are seeing this. And they are not vaccinated, by the way. They are not going to be vaccinated. They said they will lose their jobs and become bartenders before they get vaccinated. They have families. They have kids. They're not going to do it. So I don't know, Sam. I'm talking to people. But these are the opinions and the eyewitness testimonies that you won't get anywhere else. And so I've been blessed to be able to talk to some people who have this experience, and they're telling me, yeah, you probably wouldn't want to get it, but I haven't seen in my experience as a nurse on these floors, anything that compels me to get the vaccine. I'm still more concerned about the long-term effects of these vaccines. It's very smart people, long-time nurses, years and years and years of nursing. I'm still more concerned with the vaccine than the virus. So that's what I'm hearing, and I think that that's very interesting.
Well, and here's what I don't understand. The problem that I have is you don't hear from these doctors that disagree. You don't hear from these nurses that say, listen, 90-plus percent of the people that come in even to the ICU survive. That's a huge reality that we're not hearing anything about. But I just get this fact check. Precursor to ivermectin did win Nobel Prize, but it's not a proven COVID-19 treatment. USA Today. And they go on and they basically trash the horsey poop medicine, etc. But here's my question for these goons that are peddling this COVID porn. Okay? I want to be very blunt about this. Here's the interesting thing about it. They say precursor to ivermectin did win Nobel Prize. And we know that it's being given to the refugees. So we know that it's effective or safe. But they say that it's not a proven COVID-19 treatment. But I got a question for you, James. Are the vaccines a proven COVID-19 treatment?
Well, here's a good question for you in response. Why do you need to protect the vaccinated from the unvaccinated if the vaccine works?
Question.
I mean, in what universe does that make sense? So, no, I mean, they can't be proven true because...
Answer this question, though. Is the vaccine a proven COVID-19? What do they call? What's the words they use here? Not a proven COVID-19 treatment. Is it a proven COVID-19 treatment for vaccines?
Apparently not, because you have allegedly more people in the hospitals, a bigger spike than you had even in the worst of the winter of last year. Supposedly all of these overflowing hospitals. And if anything, it seems like it's gotten worse. Seems like
you have this dynamic as well. Isn't it still an emergency use authorization?
Well, for Johnson & Johnson, right? But the Pfizer ones. Well, not to my knowledge that the Pfizer one had gotten.
Lies. You've been lied to, James.
I don't believe it.
Listen, I'll prove it to you. They have a different name for the approved, FDA-approved one, and nobody can get it.
Yes.
They're still giving people the emergency authorization
And you can say I have heard that.
Or they're the same or all these games, but they've got different patent numbers, sir. And I'm telling you,
what gives? None of that matters. It doesn't matter to me anyway, because the FDA, an arm of a criminally corrupt regime, says it's safe. So I'm just all of a sudden,
if the FDA. Is they're going to fact check ivermectin, though, and say it's not a proven treatment for this. Neither are the vaccines, ladies and gentlemen. Let's be honest with ourselves about this discussion. Furthermore, here's the other interesting admission from Fauci. You might not have heard this, but are you ready for it?
I'm girding my loins.
They don't have any way to know how much or how many, I don't know what word to use here, but the level of antibodies in your system to know if you're protected.
Well, how about this one, Sam?
Stick with me, though. Do you understand what I'm saying? They don't know the level of antibodies required for you or me or anybody else to be safe, okay, and protected. Well, if they don't know the number of antibodies for you or me to be protected, how do they know the vaccines reach that level? If you don't have a yardstick, how do you know where you are on the yardstick, James?
Well, and again, it's a good question, and obviously they don't have it down right, because you're now approaching, 60% who have been fully vaccinated, 70% who have one dose, and this thing's raging never before. It's a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Well, it doesn't look like
that to me. Well, the
unvaccinated
have
natural
immunity,
James. How about this one from the Jerusalem Post?
So if you have the natural immunity folks like me and others who have already had the coronavirus, I believe that I've had both of them, by the way, then what percent of immunity do we have if the vaccines work with the, quote, natural immunity people on top of those numbers? All right, we'll talk about it, James.
I got a good answer when we come back, or a good another point.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
California voters have spoken and rejected the Governor Gavin Newsom recall. Roughly two-thirds of the Golden State voters decided to keep the Democrat in power.
We said yes to all those things that we hold dear as Californians, and I would argue as Americans: economic justice, social justice, racial justice, environmental justice, our values where California's made so much progress. All of those things were on the ballot this evening. And so I'm humbled and grateful to the millions and millions of Californians that exercised their fundamental right to vote and express themselves so overwhelmingly by rejecting the division, by rejecting the cynicism, by rejecting so much of the negativity that's defined our politics.
USA Radio News.
I'm looking forward to a play date with my granddaughter.
Nana!
I can't wait to get together with my friends for a backyard barbecue.
If you're 65 or older, you're starting to get back to doing things you love. Did you know even healthy adults 65 and older are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia? It's a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Help protect yourself with the Prevnar 13 pneumococcal 13 valent conjugate vaccine, diphtheria CRM 197 protein. Prevnar 13 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 13 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 13 does not protect against all strains of the disease. Ask your doctor or pharmacist today about Prevnar 13. Learn more at Prevnar13.com. Don't get Prevnar 13 if you have had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with a weakened immune system may have a lower response to the vaccine. The most commonly reported side effect was pain at the injection site. For additional common side effects and full prescribing information, please call 1-866-694-9300 or visit Prevnar13.com.
The Democrats' partisan $3.5 trillion spending package is running into some roadblocks. Tim Berg reports.
House Democrats unveiled some of their proposals to pay for their $3.5 trillion budget reconciliation package that they're calling human infrastructure. Ohio Republican Congressman Bill Johnson says he's confident more moderate Democratic lawmakers will either change or derail this budget package.
As you've heard from Senator Joe Manchin, he's got a top limit of somewhere between $1 and $1.5 trillion. We had Democrat colleagues last night and early this morning throughout our all-night markup that said, hey, we're spending too much.
That audio courtesy of Fox Business.
South Korea's military is reporting North Korea fired two ballistic missiles into the sea from its east coast on Wednesday. The foreign ministers of South Korea and China were meeting in Seoul on Wednesday following North Korea's cruise missile launches over the weekend. USA Radio News.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land. The Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Back with you live, James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org with me, and I'm kind of asking a lot of questions saying, you know what, if they don't have a yardstick, they don't know what, how many antibodies or how much antibodies you need in your system to be protected. They don't have that number, okay? Fauci admitted this blatantly. If you don't have a number of how much antibodies I need, then how can you tell me the antibodies in the vaccines or that the vaccines provide, how do you say the vaccine's effective? Because if the antibodies that I get from the vaccines increase my antibodies, but it's not enough, well, then I wouldn't be protected, would I? So that's the problem. And if they don't have a yardstick, they can't measure against it. And I'm saying, what gives of that, James? And you were answering why.
Well, they don't know, and that's the thing. This whole thing, the number of inconsistencies and narrative shifts have just been innumerable going back to March of last year, all going back to hey, don't use masks. Masks don't help you. Save the masks for the doctors and the nurses. To if you don't wear a mask, you go to jail or you get fined. Up to today, it continues to just be so many inconsistencies and hypocrisies. And I mean, you want to talk about hypocrisy very quickly. I mean, look at that MetLife gala where you had all of the elite, all of the stars. Not one of them were wearing a mask. And even if you're fully vaccinated, you've got to wear masks now. Well, none of them were. So it's just you're being mocked at this point. But here's the headline I was going to read before the last break. This is from the Jerusalem Post. This is a Jerusalem Post headline. And the headline reads, over 2 billion people worldwide have been inoculated against COVID-19. Now researchers are trying to learn if mRNA vaccines are dangerous long term. I mean, should I read that again for effect? Now that 2 billion people have received...
Hold on. Yes, you should, sir.
Pay attention very closely to me, ladies and gentlemen. And before I read it again for effect, I will say that those two nurses that I talked to just this last weekend, one of their big concerns were the two vaccines, the Pfizer and the Moderna, that uses this mRNA technology. And even the creator of the mRNA technology himself said, hold on, wait a minute, this isn't what I had in mind, this isn't what this was for. He's even pumping the brakes on this a little bit. Here's the Jerusalem Post headline. Over 2 billion people worldwide have been inoculated against COVID-19. Now, Israeli researchers are trying to learn if mRNA vaccines are dangerous long term. That should scare the hell out of anybody, and that's what my two nurse
friends...
Well,
and it should prove our point, though, that they don't know, and when they claim they know, they're lying to you, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, and this is, again, I'm talking about frontline people. I've talked with doctors. Listen, I've talked to all kinds. And to be fair and to be honest, I have talked to people that I know and trust and respect who have gotten vaccinated. I've known people who've gotten the disease and lived. I've known who've gotten the disease and died, people who have been vaccinated, people who are not vaccinated. It is just really a hodgepodge. But to say that there is a consensus, and even amongst the frontline workers, there is absolutely not. The nurses I spoke to last weekend said they are concerned about the long-term effects of mRNA. And my position is, well, hey, I don't want to get the vaccine, and I don't want to get the virus. But if I had to choose between one or the other, if now the narrative is down to this, okay, yes, you can still get COVID and you can still spread it even if you're quote unquote fully vaccinated. But you just might not be as sick if you get it. Well, if the difference between getting this unproven vaccine with regards to the long-term effects, yes, we all know people who have been vaccinated who are still alive, but again, the long-term effects, no, you cannot say that you know that yet, because it's only been a few months. So if you gotta get that, but you can still spread it, you can still get it, you'll still be sick, versus the long-term effect, I'm just going to roll the dice. That's the decision that I've made for myself. And what is fully vaccinated now, by the way? I mean, now they're coming out that you've already got boosters. Even if you get the vaccine, by the way, even
well, let
by
me tell
their
you why
admission,
they need a booster. To make my further point, though, James, they don't know how much antibodies you need to be protected. And so what happens is they're saying, we think we might need more to be protected. Let's do a booster, and then we'll have to test, you know, we'll have to try to figure out and see if it's working or not, because we have no way to really test. We have no way to analyze how much. And so the booster is just saying, let's try to pump a little more, and then we'll hope that the carnage stops. And if the carnage stops, then we think we've got the level between the whatever it was before the booster,
yeah,
would be after the booster on the average, right?
You're right. Everybody's a lab rat. And what is fully vaccinated? Well, even by their own admission, the efficiency of these vaccines is only good for 6 to 9 months, and you're going to need boosters. It's going to be just something that never ends. You're going to have strains and strands and new strands every year, just like the flu. You're going to get new shots every year, just like the flu. Are you going to shut down the world forever indefinitely? Because this thing's never going away, obviously. And by the way, fully vaccinated now, I think it's in Israel and maybe in other places as well. If you've received your first 2 doses of the vaccine, which would have made you fully vaccinated, say, a month or two ago, now in Israel, and I believe in at least one other country as well, they're saying if you don't have the 3rd dose, you're not considered fully vaccinated. In other words, if you've received your full vaccination of 2 doses, you're the same as somebody who hasn't gotten it at all. If you don't get that 3rd dose, you're not considered fully vaccinated. And then you've got all the stuff going on. We had a retired police officer on the show recently, Jim Lancia, who wrote a book about his career in law enforcement, and he was commenting on the heavy-handed tactics of what's going on in Australia, where, I mean, it's just this pure dystopian Orwellian reality of Australia, the lockdowns, the arrest, the constant monitoring to make sure you're at home and wearing a mask, and all the things the government's doing there. I mean, it is beyond your worst nightmare. That's in Australia. But meanwhile, and at the same time, simultaneously, in Denmark, they they've done away with all restrictions. They've done away with all masking. And Sweden never had it to begin with, much less forced vaccinations. And listen, there's still Danes and Swedes that are alive and well. And you got to look at that. You got to step back. I think everybody who's died from this thing, they've had an article written about them. So it skews the perception. Everything you read is just about people dying. Well, what about all of the people who didn't die? You're not reading that. That's what I call the fear porn, the COVID porn. But yes, in Australia, you've got all of these restrictions, mandates, fear tactics, government tyranny. Okay. Denmark, Sweden, none of it. The exact opposite, even more lax than we are here in America. And, you know, life goes on.
All right. Send me that headline from Israel. I'll add that to the show notes.
I'm doing it now.
In the meantime, I find this interesting. So the fact check from USA Today, precursor to ivermectin did win the Nobel Prize, but it's not a proven COVID-19 treatment. And my response is neither is the vaccine or the ventilator. Okay, let's talk about the ventilator for a second. You know, Donald made a gazillion ventilators, but 99% of the time you go on a ventilator, you come out dead, James.
That was another thing I talked to about, Sam. I really wanted to talk to people who work on these floors with these patients and what their opinion is. And they said, yeah, you just I talked to one nurse in particular who said she'd get up and leave before being put on a vent. She said, don't let it happen. These are nurses on COVID floors. They have their own opinion.
The ventilators are nearly a death sentence. So here's the question, James. Why would we mock ivermectin when literally – thousands of doctors claim it works when it can be prescribed via a physician through a pharmacy in human form, when the precursor to it won the Nobel Prize, when we, why wouldn't we, since we know ventilators are virtually certain death, why wouldn't we try ivermectin before we put people on a ventilator? That's not even being talked about. It's just being mocked as horsey poop.
Yep, that's it. Well, yeah,
why would they do that if they really want health and healing, James?
Well, that's the question that even you and I can't truly answer with certainty. Is it all just for profits for big pharma? Is it all just to make the billionaires and more billionaire to increase their billions? I don't know. Is it a beta test to see how compliant populations are? Going back to the very beginning of this thing in March 2020, I have questioned why are they doing this? But the only conclusion that I can substantially form is that I don't know. I just know it's not because they have our health and well-being at heart, because this disease is just not potent enough to justify everything we've seen over the course of the last
year. Well, and
it's
very serious, though. It affects people all differently, and you can get really, really, really sick, nigh on to death. I know all about it. At the same time, their actions speak louder than words. They claim that, oh my gosh, the hospital is being overwhelmed. Is that true? I think in certain cases, people are going to the hospital. But do they need to be going to the hospital is the real question. So I went to the hospital twice, James. And they would claim, well, because you're unvaccinated, by golly, that's why. Well, that's a lie. But when I went there, all they did was give me, basically, they gave me the ability to rehydrate. But it's illegal for most people to get the medicines to rehydrate themselves or to even have a professional do it on your own. And then as soon as I got ivermectin, I didn't need to go to the hospital. But, of course, they wouldn't prescribe that, so I had to wait for a doctor who would. But I got one other interesting thing about this when we come back. You're listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's advanced distance education program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Buxman and James Edward on your radio. We're talking about the lies related to COVID that are just becoming beyond the pale, ladies and gentlemen. Now, let me just kind of do a pop quiz for you, James. When you got the COVID, they tell you to isolate and stay home and drink lots of fluids and, you know, just sleep and take care of yourself. But if certain things happen, you should definitely go to the hospital. What do they say? When do they say you need to go to the hospital, James?
I couldn't tell you, actually. When do they say that?
When you can't breathe.
Well, that would be a good time to go. I would agree with that.
Right. So here's the problem with that. What do they do to you when you can't breathe, James?
Well, they put you on oxygen.
That's right. All right, stop. They put you on oxygen, but do you realize that oxygen is a controlled substance? You have to have a prescription to even get oxygen?
No, I did not know that.
All right, so if you have to have a prescription to get oxygen, and we're in emergency times now, so emergency that we're going to force everyone to take experimental vaccines, so emergency that we're going to lock everybody down, so emergency we're going to force everyone to wear a mask. I mean, this is emergency time to the point where we're literally going to almost have martial law around the country, okay? Do you think one of the emergency actions they should take is to say, let's make oxygen not a prescription? You know what? If you have COVID and you can't breathe, get your buddies, your loved ones, somebody to go down to the drugstore, to the grocery store, to wherever, and get oxygen and do it today. I think that we should have made oxygen capabilities available to most people before we made ventilators in the hospital mandated for people. Because ventilators, we've all proven, are virtually certain death. It's last resort. We don't know what else to do. Try the ventilator, and we know people die. We're not going to try horsey poop ivermectin, even though thousands of doctors claim that it works incredibly well. And there's thousands of people like me that have taken ivermectin and literally got off oxygen within hours. The only reason they kept sending me home from the hospital instead of keeping me there, you want to know why, James?
To make a little money?
Because I had my own oxygen. So I could go home.
What did you do? Do you have a?
I have an oxygen concentrator for other reasons. So I have a prescription for this controlled substance that nobody else can get. So nobody else can go home unless they get a prescription. Da 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 da. A big old long process. I could go home that very night because I had my own oxygen. And the medical professionals are like, "We'd love to keep you here, but we just don't see any point if you've got your own oxygen. That's all we can do for you." So my question is why are we having oxygen as a controlled substance? No one's having this discussion that I know of except for me. And I kind of wonder what gives on that. But here's the next headline for you. Breakthrough COVID-19 infections after vaccinations can lead to long-haul coronavirus symptoms. New Israeli study shows, James.
Yeah, I tell you,
so now
the
you're
Israelis
more likely
are,
to take the vaccine to get long haul symptoms, buddy.
Well, see, the Israelis are looking at this from all angles, apparently. So it was from the Jerusalem Post. The Israeli researchers were now trying to learn, after 2 million doses of this stuff has been put into people, if it is in fact dangerous at all and long term. And so, yeah, you're going to have long term effects from this. You're going to have long term effects if you have the virus. Well, I, like you said, I mean, again, if I'm wrong about this, I'll just join the seemingly ever expanding list of conservative talk radio show hosts who have rolled the dice and come up short. But if you're going to have
well,
long term
effects,
anyway,
hold on, stop. They rolled the dice and come up short because the things that I'm bringing up that are necessary to keep people out of the hospitals and keep the hospitals from being overwhelmed are not being utilized. Let people try ivermectin. You should have two thresholds of when you try ivermectin. One, before you go to the hospital because they're overwhelmed and we can't have you here if you don't really have to be here. Number one, try ivermectin, by golly. Number two, if we're about to put you on a ventilator, because it's almost certain death when that happens, ivermectin, baby. Let's give it, try it, do it. Why don't we roll out that grand old experiment? They act like it's the end of the world if we do so. But you're talking about people who are overwhelming hospitals. Well, give them oxygen, give them ivermectin, and they don't probably need to go to the hospital. Those are the two things that save my bacon. And so when they say these talk show hosts that criticize the vaccines and everything else and they wind up dead, maybe if we gave them oxygen and ivermectin, they wouldn't be dead, sir.
What do you know about the monoclonal medicine?
I know it's a great solution, but it's incredibly expensive. It's about $21,000 a dose.
Okay.
solution if you're Donald Trump and if you're the Texas governor there, Greg Abbott. It's a wonderful solution, my friend. For you and I, it might work because, again, all it does is take antibodies from somebody else's blood, put it in your blood, and hopefully they can raise the antibody level enough, high enough to make sure that you're protected. Or
that would
defended.
Be a better. You think that would be a better straight shot than a vaccine?
Absolutely, without question. But nobody can afford it. See, ivermectin. Now, you know how much ivermectin costs?
But you can get it. Yeah, not much. Although
the
supply and demand has made
it. If you get
the
human version, if you get the human prescription from a doctor through a pharmacy, it's about $35.
Well,
how do I know? Because I got it, ladies and gentlemen, and paid out of my bank account. That's how I know.
And did
so
you
thugs
feel
act
better
like I don't know? I know all
it.
About it.
Do you think that it had an effect on your recovery in the near hours after taking it? I mean, could you?
Yes.
Could you
so here's
it?
What happened. I was on oxygen. I had a what do I call those things that you put on your finger?
Yeah, the pulse oximeter.
Yeah, pulse oximeter. Okay. And I had a pulse oximeter. And when I would take my oxygen off, my oxygen would drop from like 93, 94, 95 down to 70 in about 10 seconds. 65,
wow. Yeah,
70.
That's pretty stout. That's crazy.
It's serious. I mean, you're talking about if that happens long term, your brain fries kind of stuff, right? All right. Because you're starved from oxygen. Well, anyway, after I took ivermectin, literally within probably 3, 4, 5, 6 hours, I took off oxygen. And that did not happen. My oxygen did not drop, and I did not need oxygen going forward. Now, I did put oxygen on a couple of times a day for 15, 20 minutes for the next several days because I was told that was wise. But I didn't need to stay on oxygen, and my oxygen did not plummet. I don't know a better case study from an individual testimony to prove the point. I'm telling you, it's so blatant, it's beyond debate, James, in my case.
And what is I'm just asking questions now like a random person in the stands, but is the Regeneron, is that one of the monoclonal antibody treatments, or is that something different?
I don't know. I don't know enough about it. I think that it is. But again, those antibody treatments are great, but all they're doing is putting antibodies into your bloodstream and saying we hope that it's enough. And if not, we'll try to give you more because we don't know what level we really need. So I appreciate that approach. But why not do ivermectin for $35 and maybe these people wouldn't be going to the hospital? Why not make it
sound
where people can get oxygen?
Well, see, that's what you're talking about, Sam. You're talking about they're troubleshooting this whole thing on the fly because they themselves don't know. Doesn't it seem like 6 months after or 3 months after you receive a second dose of a vaccine that you're already, you know, being told to get a booster? I mean, just within a couple of months later, that doesn't seem right. That's within the same season.
Why are they going to mock... Why are they going to mock me and Joe Rogan, who swear that ivermectin works, while they claim the hospitals are too full, while they fire everybody that won't get vaccinations? See, everything they're doing points to they've got a goal.
This is a question that needs to be asked while we're on this conversation, because this is, I think, the next big threshold in seeing how compliant a population will be to go against its own will, just to avoid inconveniences. With now, this will get tied up in courts, of course, but conservatives always lose in court, so don't look for any sort of resolution there. I think we should know that by now. 100 people or more at a business, you employ 100 people or more, they've got to be mandated to be vaxxed. How many people are just going to stop working? How many people, we know there's some evidence of this happening in the short term, but I wonder if this is just something people are just going to, this is going to be the straw that breaks the people's back.
Yeah, it is. We're either going to fight back and stop Joe, or companies are going to start saying, we got 121 employees, we're going to get rid of the 21, we're going to have 99. And small businesses are going to flourish, self-employment's going to flourish big time under this. Now, I got a final story for you that I find interesting and worthy of discussion. So the National Association of Broadcasters, James, has a show every year. They used to have a TV, radio holistic show, and then they had a radio show separate. Then the big show was April every year in Vegas. And then the radio show was an October kind of thing, and it would go to different places around the country. And then they cut it off because of the COVID. Then this year they came back and said, we're going to have it in October now. It's going to be incredible. We want y'all to come. But you, by force, must be vaccinated and show your vax card or you can't come. So guys like me decided I wasn't going to go. And I assume that so many people felt like me, James, to where now here's the headline. You ready? NAB 2021 show, or the National Association of Broadcasters 2021 show, officially canceled. Officially canceled. No more show at all, James.
So the people who weren't willing to comply made the attendance plummet to such an extent that they couldn't even put
on
the event.
Well, they're going to claim that they can't do it because the COVID's out of control. But I'm telling you that on the backside, I don't think enough people were willing to go.
Well, it makes you thankful for people like DeSantis, who's really digging in Florida. I mean, they're really out to get him, manipulating the evidence and taking things out of context. And he's trying to do the exact opposite, find businesses that are mandating the vaccines. And, of course, that's going to get tied up in court. And court never ends well for liberty-loving people. But very rarely, I think Richard Mack may be the one outlier that I know of in my life. But they'll never
admit it's because of the vaccine thing, but I'm convinced that's a significant portion of what it is. And I'll tell you why. Ready to know how I know?
Yeah,
if the vaccine's effective, and if they're only letting vaxxed people in, why does the coronavirus spiraling out of control matter?
That's a good one.
I mean, it's only spiraling out of control for those whacked out, psychotic people that won't take the jab. They're running around dying and going to the hospital and melting down and eating horsey poop and doing all kinds of crazy crap to try to stay alive. The rest of us are having a safe, effective NAB show because we're all vaxxed and good. I mean, isn't that the reality? What's going on?
Well, I'll tell you, my daughter competed in a fair 2 weeks ago. 50-50 wearing masks, wearing not, very crowded. I'm still alive. I was at an event last week giving a speech. I've been traveling all over, no more, no less than any other time, and somehow, some way, I've been able to survive this thing. I don't know. We'll see. The good Lord wills it, and Jesus tarries. We'll keep on doing the same. But I'm just saying, you can have a normal life and survive it. So don't let them tell you otherwise.
Anyway, there you have it. The NAB 2021 show officially canceled, but the only people that were allowed to go were vaccinated people, and they're claiming that it's just too out of control even for the vaxxed to go. I got a question. How effective is that? Maybe I'm just stupid. I lack scientific knowledge, I guess. But I understand 1 + 1 = I guess it's 1, or is it really 2? I'm just teasing. That's the kind of deception they really want to pull the wool over your eyes on. Don't fall for the lies, ladies and gentlemen. All right, for James Edwards, deeppoliticalcesspool.org, and Sam Bushman, libertyroundtable.org, syndicated by lovingliberty.net, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.